live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whole lot to do today. We'll have a conversation. I got a chance when I was filling in locally on the Fan in New York City yesterday to chop it up with my pal Stephon Marbury. That conversation was so good, previewing the Knicks and the Celtics game that will be coming your way tonight, that we'll play it for you right at about 5:35 p.m. Eastern time today. So a very good chat with Stephon Marbury that we'll get to later on in the show. But I got to start off with some football news that did come out over the weekend. Derek Carr is retiring. Now, I don't know about you guys. This is a bizarre story, because there always seemed like we were waiting for the other shoe to fall, and there was always something that we weren't being told here. So out of nowhere, a little while back, we found out that Derek Carr may need to go through season-ending shoulder surgery. And it kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't the injury that put him out for the rest of last season, at the end of last season. And the injury news came out from one Ian Rappaport, and we didn't think much of it, right? Like, Rap Sheet is one of those creme de la creme reporters. You take it for what it's worth. You read the report, and it didn't feel like there was anything nefarious going on. But at some point, you had Adam Schefter say, yeah, I think there's more to this story. So you have one guy in Rap Sheet, creme de la creme reporter, Adam Schefter, another creme de la creme reporter, probably the standard for the reporting business in the NFL, and the story never really did add up. And there was stuff going back to the contract where it felt like you were going to have Derek Carr that was going to be on this team for this upcoming season, and he seemed frustrated along the way. But then over the weekend, we find out that the surgery is needed, or the injury is worse than what Derek Carr thought it was, and he's just going to walk away and retire and leave the NFL. So I have two thoughts on this. Here's my first thought, and I want to go to Stu first, because Stu, right, is a Raider fan. At one point, Derek Carr was his quarterback. And then I think Stu is a sane Raider fan, where a lot of people thought like Derek Carr got screwed over with the Raiders. I don't think so. It was time to move off of Derek Carr. The problem with Josh McDaniels, McDoofus, what he did with the Raiders, you know, he's a brilliant offensive coordinator. He is a terrible, and I mean a terrible, head coach and manager of human beings. And McDaniels had this grand plan to get rid of Derek Carr. I get it. Derek Carr, to me, not a franchise quarterback. Derek Carr, to me, not a quarterback, forget winning a Super Bowl, that you could win like a playoff game with. And McDaniels had the right idea when he got to the Raiders to move off and end the relationship with Derek Carr. The problem was he thought he was going to get Tom Brady. And then Tom Brady retires. I don't know why they didn't go make a more of a serious push at the time for Aaron Rodgers, because Davante Adams, remember, was already there. And even Rodgers, when he said he wanted to go to the Jets, McAfee, you know, the rare time that he pressed Rodgers on something, was bringing up Davante Adams, and Aaron basically gave off the impression, and who knows if it's true or not with Aaron Rodgers, but he gave off the impression that Aaron Rodgers did not get a lot of contact and a lot of interest from Josh McDaniels. So the big plan, the big grand scheme, the big reward for the Raiders fan was to bring in Jimmy stinking Garoppolo. And I know Jimmy G got to a Super Bowl. I know Jimmy G, for the majority of that Super Bowl, outplayed Patrick Mahomes. But everyone knew that Jimmy G, that had like a brain. And I was always big when people were like my old boss Spike Eskin. We used to get into a lot of debates about Jimmy G and Tom Brady. And Spike was like, you go with the younger player, you get rid of Tom Brady. And I said, Spike, Jimmy G, this is even before I knew Spike was going to be my boss, just when we were friendly, when he was the program director at 94 WIP in Philly. And I was either doing film work or we were just staying in contact. And I said to Spike, I go, you realize that Jimmy G's not all that good. So it's like, why would you get rid of the greatest quarterback of all time for a quarterback that is injury prone and not all that good. But anyway, that was McDaniel's big plan. Jimmy G, which I don't even know if you could argue if that was a lateral move. You could definitely argue that that was a downgrade from Derek Carr. So Josh McDaniels had the right intention of moving off of Derek Carr, but it was idiotic who he brought in. Now, with that being said, Carr goes to the Saints, and outside of Gary Myers, let's be real, I don't think anyone ever thought that Derek Carr was like this great quarterback when he was going to the New Orleans Saints. It was wholly overpay. So when this news comes out, Stu, and I know that at the end of his time in Vegas and with the Raiders, I think Carr became like a sympathetic figure where it was, oh, woe is me. And it's weird. Like, Derek Carr, I don't think is a bad dude. Derek Carr is not a horrible quarterback. You could be a lot worse than Derek Carr. You could also be a lot better. But it was always, I felt as if he wanted to play the woe is me card. And that just annoys me. Because, right, he thinks that he's a lot better than what he is. He thinks his bleep doesn't stink. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. Right, you have to be confident. You got to be an alpha. You got to be a macho man to be a quarterback in the NFL. But the way that Derek Carr viewed himself outside of that one season where it looked like he could be the MVP of the league at one point, and then he got hurt, right? He was in the running for that. I never thought that Derek Carr was ever all that. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Like, I don't think anyone ever looked at Derek Carr and consistently thought he would be a top-10 quarterback in this league. Heck, whenever someone would make the case that Derek Carr was a top-10 quarterback, he would stumble, he would fall on his face, and he would be about the 15th best quarterback in the league. Derek Carr, to me, is a 15 to 17 guy in the league. Statistically, you could take him. Statistically, you could be fine with him. But you're never going to have serious high expectations with Derek Carr as the quarterback. But with all that being said, when the news came out the other day that he was retiring, I am 1 foot in, 1 foot out still on Derek Carr. Like, quite frankly, I don't care about the future of Derek Carr whatsoever. But when I hear retiring and I hear him talk about the injury, you know, I saw Hickey in the newsroom, Stu, and this is why I even feel more confident about this. And I said, do you actually believe that Derek Carr is done with football? And Hickey's like, yeah, of course. Like, Hickey doesn't even think the possibility of the other side of what's going on here. He's like, yeah, Derek Carr doesn't seem like that guy that would make it all about himself and would walk away because he's annoyed at the Saints and then come back a year later. Like, I really do believe at some point next offseason, we're going to get a news alert. And I don't know if there's going to be interest. Takes two to tango. But I think there's going to be a news alert out there where it is said, oh, Derek Carr is efforting a comeback to the NFL. And he's determined to be on a roster somewhere for what would be, wow, this is crazy to say, the 2026 NFL season. That's at least how I feel. So since Derek Carr at one point, Stu, was your guy before he was no longer your guy, what were your feelings, what were your emotions about Derek Carr retiring the other day, and what do you think about his future? Do you actually believe he's done in the NFL?
So I was surprised, as many people were. In terms of his future, I think he could try to come back, but yeah. Who's going to want him? I think that's two different things. Like, I think we could see that headline next year, like Carr attempting comeback, but I don't know if there's going to be any takers.
Well,
I don't think
fair.
At this point it's worth it.
Well, that's fair. And that's why I said I think it takes two to tango here. But come on. David Carr tries to tell you that Derek Carr is Joe freaking Montana. All right? Or Tom Brady. Or Patrick Mahomes. Like, David Carr for years is pounding the desk on NFL Network. And I get it. It's his brother. But he's making it out as if Derek Carr is this greatest quarterback of all time. Like, I don't think the apple falls that far from the tree with David Carr, where then Derek Carr a year from now would be like, oh, I got a raw deal with the Saints. Oh, the Saints wanted to basically give up on me. The Saints weren't truthful at the end. They didn't even tell me about the whole salary and the conversion, the contract, and however that did go down that no one actually wants to hear and is really bored of. So let me get away from this organization. But let's be real right now. I don't want to call the Saints disastrous, because the Saints are an organization that for years had Sean Payton, for years had Drew Brees, and they were always in the mix, right? They won that lone Super Bowl. You know, there were some years where they didn't make the playoffs, right, for some stretches, but then they had that run where they really got back into the mix, and they got screwed in that conference championship game and all that jazz. But ever since Drew Brees left the building, you know, they just had their worst season at 5-12, which led to the firing of Dennis Allen, and you had Darren Rizzi Wasn't he like talking about taking a number two or something before a game? What was that whole thing with Darren Rizzi? He clogged the toilet. That's what it was. He clogged the toilet before his first game as an NFL head coach. But before this 5-12, when the carpet really got pulled out from underneath them, you know, with Sean Payton, and even for a little bit with Dennis Allen, 9-8, 7-10, 9-8, and then this year it came crashing down and burning at 5-12, but still, they didn't even have a top five draft pick when you look back at the Saints. So now they were picking 9th overall. So now when you bring in a new head coach in Kellen Moore, coming over from the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, for some reason, you still got Mickey Loomis there. The Saints, I think, were directionalist the last few years, where they weren't the worst team in the league, but they were nowhere close to the best team in the league. And they would just be like kind of nipping on the heels of the teams that would actually make the playoffs. To now, I feel like this is when the full rebuild starts. Because does anyone believe that Tyler Shuck or Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler is going to take the baton and run it to be the franchise quarterback of the New Orleans Saints? I do not. And this roster is now older. There's a lot of players that they paid that, quite frankly, are not worth the money. And now with Derek Carr not being there, I think Derek Carr also looked at it. Hey, I didn't like how things did go down at the end with the Saints, which I don't really know what he's so upset about and what he's bitching about. And also, I'm not 100%, so I'm going to use this injury to kind of rest up, reset the body. And then at the end of this year, it will be, do I want to come back and play? And also, will anyone want me as a quarterback? But with all that being said, this is the other part of the story. Carr walking away and the Saints having to rely on the trio of Shuck, Haener, and Rattler. That sounds like a law firm, by the way. You know, if I ever get into a litigious situation, I'm calling Shuck, Haener, and Rattler. That would be the law firm that I would be hitting on up. It does feel like this is going to be a bottom five team in the NFL this year. Now, with that being said, there were teams last year. There was a team specifically that we all thought was going to be a bottom five team in the NFL last year, and that was the Denver Broncos, but they ended up hitting gold in the draft, which no one but Sean Payton realized it, in Bo Nix at the time. And we saw what the Broncos ended up doing. They ended up going to the playoffs last year as a 7 seed, where they ended up losing the Buffalo Bills as a 2 seed on wild card weekend. Now it feels like the Saints are going to be one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. So it does feel like they're starting that march for Arch. Now, it's not a foregone conclusion that Arch Manning's going to be coming out of Texas at the end of this year and going to the NFL draft, but you're in the hunt to go get a future franchise quarterback. And you could try this year, like Tyler Shuck should start. Right, use a second round pick on him. He's old enough. Let's see what he's got. Let's see if he can stay healthy. I'm not a believer in him, but you make that 1 year evaluation and you should be in the top five next year, where even if you don't get Arch Manning, and let's say Arch Manning either goes one and you're not the worst team in the league, or if Arch Manning says, I'm going back to Sark for another year at Texas, this quarterback draft class for this upcoming season is supposed to be good. You know, who knows who's going to pan out with Cape Klubnik and Drew Aller and Lenore Sellers, just to name a few. But this is more of a highly thought of quarterback draft class than the one that we just had, where you did get to see, obviously, with the first overall pick, Cam Ward go. And then you did have, what was it, at 25? It was Jackson Dart also go in the first round. Like, there should be 3 quarterbacks, or bare minimum 2 quarterbacks, in the top 5, in the top 10, when we get to the NFL draft of 2026. But you look at the bottom 5 rosters in the NFL that need a quarterback, too. Like the Browns, even though they have so many quarterbacks right now, but no one that's a foregone conclusion that will definitely be their starter, even though I believe in Shedeur Sanders. Tennessee just took their quarterback. The Colts, I don't think, will be a bottom 5 team. Stu, do you put your Raiders in the mix for a bottom 5 roster in the NFL? Or with Geno Smith, do you think like the Raiders will be like a 7 or 8 win team?
I think they're probably in that like 6-7 range, so they're probably just outside the top 5.
Okay. The Giants could be bottom 5, but they just drafted Jackson Dart. No one in the NFC North. The NFC South, definitely the Saints. All right, I would say the Saints are the team with the least optimistic future there. Tampa Bay has Baker. They got Godwin. They got Evans. They just drafted Emeka Ogbuka. The Falcons, you have the intrigue of Michael Penix Jr. You got Bijan Robinson. The Panthers, at least there's that intrigue there now with Bryce Young. I'll tell you, trying to find the 5 worst teams in football right now, it's tough to do. It really is. Like, you could argue, and how many people said, oh, the Patriots have been the biggest winners this offseason. You could argue the Patriots are a bottom five team in the NFL entering this season. And I think they'll be improved under Mike Vrabel, but that roster is not great still. So you look around here. If you had to handicap right now, who's going to be picking number one in the draft? Would anyone disagree that it's going to be the Saints right now? I don't think that's a stretch. Like, I would be shocked if the Saints aren't bare minimum a bottom five team in the NFL this year. Like, I would be absolutely shocked. So I think Carr retiring really lets you rip off the Band-Aid. Who knows what his NFL future will be, because I'm not sold that he's definitely going to be out. But now you get a 17-game audition for Tyler Shuck, and if he doesn't end up living up to the hype, which I don't anticipate him doing so, I don't like him as a second-round quarterback. No one when the NFL, when the college regular season ended last year, no one said, oh, Tyler Shuck is going to be a second-round quarterback, right? Most people thought he was a fourth, fifth-round pick, if that, if you were even talking about him. And the guy goes in the second round? Come on. What are we doing? So I would anticipate the Saints are going to be bottom five, bottom three, maybe even one, and then they'll be able to get their pick of the litter, really, to see who's going to be that quarterback that's going to emerge as the guy coming up in this NFL draft class for this upcoming, this upcoming season. All right, it is Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. So Derek Carr is going to the retirement home from now. Someone that's nowhere close to the retirement home is Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he could be leaving his home in Milwaukee and he could be going somewhere else. Is Giannis about to be on the move? We'll discuss that next when the Zach Gelb Show continues on a very busy Monday right here on the Infinity Sports Network. The NBA draft lottery is tonight. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Stu, I'll tell you, I'm addicted to a few things, obviously. The Tankathon draft simulator, just pressing that, is so fun. And I don't even have skin in the game for this draft lottery. As you have the Jazz, the Wizards, and Charlotte, they have the three highest odds. Then it's the Pelicans, followed by the Sixers, the Nets, Toronto, and San Antonio. Those are the eight highest odds to get the number one overall pick as we currently sit. So if I press the simulator button right now, number one would be New Orleans. Number two would be Washington. Number three would be Philly. Number four would be Utah. Number five would be Charlotte. Number six would be Brooklyn. Number seven would be Toronto. Number eight would be San Antonio. And then who cares? So that's how it would be. Now, if I press it one more time, one Charlotte, two Houston via Phoenix, Portland, Brooklyn, Utah, Washington, New Orleans, Philadelphia would lose it to OKC. Oh, these are funky. Toronto and San Antonio. I'll tell you, if you could just take a random team here and say, give them the number one overall pick, how fun would it be if San Antonio, who right now has a 6% chance to land the number one overall pick, if they go get the number one overall pick, where right now they have Victor Wembanyama, who the blood clots is a concern, but we all know his potential. You got De'Aaron Fox. You also have Stephen Castle, who is unbelievable. Castle, he's a really good player. I saw him, obviously, at UConn, but seeing him live in person when I was down in San Antonio for the Final Four and I ditched Stu for a little bit to go to San Antonio Spurs game with my buddy, Castle is a joy to watch. And if they go then go get Cooper Flagg, hello, that would be something. So San Antonio, maybe the league says, you know what, it's Pop's going away present. You know, having him end up his coaching career, now going to the president of basketball operations, give them the number one overall pick. But I saw today that the Spurs could actually be a player for Giannis Antetokounmpo if he's on the move. Now, I would imagine they have to trade Castle to get Giannis would be my guess. But if you could get Giannis, if you could get Wemby, and you could get De'Aaron Fox on the same team, holy smokes. That's a heck of a basketball team. The Spurs are one of those up-and-coming teams. If they could just stay healthy, and if they play their next two off seasons right, they could be like a team that goes from 0 to 100, just like how you saw the Oklahoma City Thunder the last few years. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting tonight. I'm an addict for a good sports game. especially when you live in the city and there's a vibe in this city. So I've been fortunate. I'm fortunate enough where I don't have to pay to go to a lot of sports games. Right through the job, whether I'm covering it or people be like, hey, I'm going to bring you to the game. So my buddy that usually takes me right behind the bench, he's going with his wife tonight, right? Nothing I could do there. I have another friend who's been kind enough. He has a suite at the Garden. And he's got me a lot of tickets to Ranger playoff games. But he called me up tonight. He goes, are you going to the Knicks game? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going. Or he called me actually over the weekend. I'm like, oh, I'm not planning on going. And he goes, well, I have the suite. I had to give all my tickets to clients. But if you get in, I can get you up to the box. So I was like, okay. So I just got to buy the cheapest ticket in the building. You got me up to the box? He goes, yeah. So I looked at the prices before game three still. And it started with a one, and it wasn't 100, all right? So I was looking for like 1,100, 1,200 a ticket. I'm not paying 1,100, 1,200 a ticket to get into round two, game four at the Mecca, right? So Knicks get blown out on Saturday, which, by the way, Saturday was actually a very fun day. Carlos with the K and I, we went to Mason Jar in the city. We had hot wings with blue cheese. We had Cajun dry rub wings with blue cheese, French fries, jalapeno cornbread, and we had a few cervezas. So we were sitting down there. We were drinking a bunch of beer, having wings, doing what men do best. Wings, beer, sports, blue cheese, French fries, right? That's what we were doing. And someone that is a listener to this show, Billy, who's a great listener, took me to Rangers game last year. I said, oh, he loves this place, Mason Jars. Two fraternity brothers found it. They opened it. I go, if you're around, feel free to join Carlos with a K and I. So Billy came, we watched the Knicks game. The Knicks got stomped out by the Boston Celtics. Let's be real. The Knicks really had no business winning the first two games, let alone winning both of those games. Like, it's amazing how they were down 20 once and came back, then down 20 twice and came back and won both those games. So for game three, I made one bet, and I was very confident with this bet. Jalen Brunson over 26.5 points. He had 6 points at the end of the first quarter. So not trending to hit that over, but not impossible. But the Knicks were down so many points. The Knicks were down 30 at one point. And when they were down 20 for the third game in a row, I even tweeted out, there's no way the Knicks are going to do this three games in a row. There's no way the defending champion Boston Celtics are going to let the Knicks do that three games in a row. So I ended up just clearing the bet because Brunson finished with 27. And I was just waiting for them to pull him in the fourth quarter when the game was out of reach. The game was out of reach before the start of the fourth quarter. Usually it misses a few minutes. And then boom, Brunson hits that little jumper right in front of the basket, little bunny. And I ended up hitting the bet. So we went from there. Game ended at 6 o'clock. We were going to take the 7 line to Citi Field because Carlos is a big Cubs fan, Mets are playing the Cubs, all that stuff. I said to Carlos, let's walk 13 minutes, go to Penn Station. Take the LIRR, cleaner train, easier ride. You don't have to deal with everyone on the subway. 18 minutes right to Citi Field. We walk in. Carlos's wife, by the way, huge Mets fan. She bought you know how you bought that standing room only Yankee season pass?
Yes.
I guess they sell those for the Mets. She bought them for the Mets.
Okay.
So Carlos with the K's wife was there. Carlos with the K obviously was there, and I was there. So we had a very fun time at the Mets game. Carlos likes to talk a lot of smack during the games. A lot of smack. I was just begging for someone to just pop him in the mouth, honestly. I had no problem if they punch him. But also, he's a Marine, so probably not good. If you ended up punching a Marine, that would not be good. But I said to Carlos with a K, here's what I kept on chirping him with. Because Carlos was so pumped up earlier in the week when he found out that he thought the Pope was a Cubs fan. So anytime the Cubs did something positive, I just kept on saying, Pope's a Sox fan. Pope's a Sox fan. So we had a bunch of beers at the game. The filet mignon cheesesteak, the Pat LaFrieda filet mignon cheesesteak at Citi Field, right? You had, Stu, when we went to the Yankee.
Yeah, it's great.
Very good. They now have loaded steak fries at the Pat LaFrieda stand. Delicious. So I had that. Then said goodbye to Carlos after the Cubs beat the Mets. Took the subway home. You know, hard hat guy, not, you know, all the time. I can't be a hard hat guy all the time. There, I had to be a hard hat guy. Take the subway home, blue collar, right, and get back to my apartment. Then I fell asleep, and then Sunday was hosted on the Fan, and then I eventually had to go out to Long Island. Big calorie weekend. I'll tell you, I went out to Long Island for like 4 hours, went to Menino's, big Italian dinner, and I said hello to mom, said hello to my sister and my niece, my brother-in-law, my grandfather, my dad, and then took the train right back into the city. I got back in the city last night at 10 o'clock. City was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I walked home from Penn Station to my financial district apartment, burned off some of that calories, did the elliptical today to try to fight off the Carlos with a K day on Saturday and then all the calories that I did intake on Sunday. But anyway, I told you before game three, the cost for game four was $1,200. The tickets plummeted to $700. And I'm like, $700 is still a bunch for a playoff game. But I'm like, the Rangers didn't make the playoffs this year. And I go, there's a suite. It's a big event, big sport event. I go, let me see what they are in the morning. What do you think? I ended up securing a ticket for tonight. What do you think the cheapest ticket in the house as of 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time was for the New York Knicks up against the Boston Celtics with the series on the line? Let's be real. If the Knicks win tonight, I think they're winning the series. If the Celtics win tonight, I think the Celtics are winning in six games. I think that this will be like when the Rangers up against, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning, where they took the first two and they didn't win another game the rest of the series. So I really do feel like this is the series on the line tonight between the Celtics and the Knicks, which has been a fun series to watch. What do you think the secondary get-in price was at the cheapest ticket available?
I'll say $620.
Okay, good guess. Samter? Little Price is Right action here?
I'm going to go lower. If seven was too high, I don't think six you would have gotten it for. So I'm going to go $450.
So if I had a coupon, does that not count? Like, you want what the actual price was. So the cheapest ticket I found was $636, and then I had a $20 off coupon, so it cost $616 to get into the building tonight. So that's what I ended up doing to get into Madison Square Garden tonight. I just want the ambiance of this game. Let me tell you, if I go to this game tonight, and I don't, like, if the Knicks lose, the Knicks lose. But if this is not a close game, and this is a blowout, you have people spend like $1,200. The cheapest ticket on game three I saw was $975 on the secondary market right before the game. And that game was over in a snap of a finger. When Axe started going to sporting events, how much was a ticket for a playoff game? Like $3?
I wouldn't say that, but it was
$15?
My ticket, I'll tell you this. My ticket for Super Bowl 23.
It's a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Who played in that Super Bowl?
That was the Bengals and the Niners, John okay. Taylor.
Was that the Boomer
yes.
interception Super Bowl?
Well, 34 seconds left. He got back.
I'm just teasing. So, Boomer was having some fun at my expense this morning on his show. So, having a little fun back.
But that ticket, I sat in the third row of the end zone. Third row
end zone.
Yes. That was $100.
Oh, my goodness gracious. My nosebleeds to get in a Super Bowl now is like $1,000.
My ticket for game seven of the 1986 World Series. Well, I want to say it was 30. It was certainly no more than $45.
Oh, my God.
And my ticket for Game 7 of the 1994 Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Game 7, 1994 Stanley Cup Final against Vancouver.
Now I'm in the 300s.
Oh, you're in the 300s.
Yes, with your uncle.
Take a timeout here.
Yeah.
Where were you in life at that point in 1994?
I was 25. I was actually living in Chicago.
Okay, so you already went to school with Kenny Albert, whose dad did the games.
Yeah.
Is that how you got the ticket for Face or no?
No, Kenny did the game. He bought a strip. He bought a strip of about 10.
And did you get one?
I got one, yes.
Okay. Where my uncle was sitting with Bill Walton.
Yeah, who was right in front of me.
Oh, really? How'd you see? with my uncle. He's a small guy.
I've told you the line. My friend who was next to me, who was representing Kenny at the time, said and representing Bill, says, Bill, what are you doing here? And he just turns around and looks at him and goes,
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
He goes, when there's a championship to be won, I'm in the building. Just like that.
All righty. So game seven, Stanley Cup Final, 1994. You're in the 300 section. The blue seats, right?
Green. At that time, yes.
I'm going to say $88.
Not even half.
Oh, my God.
Actually, more than half, I should say. $40.
Oh, my God. God.
Best bargain ever.
Second round, Madison Square Garden. I'm saying game four tonight, secondary market.
Yes.
For the worst seat in the house, just to get in the building, I go up a luxury box.
Yeah.
It was like 6:30 or something like that. What did I say? 6:36, I forget what it was. That's crazy. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yep. I wish I was born like 30 years. I was born 30 years ago. I wish I was born 50 years ago.
Well, I had a friend in college, and for a long time this was the case. You know, you could probably make the case until MetLife Stadium opened. But I remember in college, we used to go to the Giant games over, you know, you'd scalp tickets for $15, $20, which was not much more than face. A friend of mine had season tickets in the middle ring, which was really a great seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the season tickets were, I think it was $11 a ticket per game.
God. It's obnoxious. Hey, real quickly here. Who do you think has the highest odds right now, according to Bovada, to get Giannis Antetokounmpo? It's a three-way tie. Three-way tie. So you got three potential correct answers here. Stu, give me one.
Spurs.
That would be inaccurate.
Really?
I don't even see the Spurs. Now, I've heard people say that the Spurs could be like the lead destination. According to Bovada, via, is this the real NBA? What is that account?
NBA Central?
Yeah. So this is the actual one. They do not have the Spurs listed in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 teams that they've posted. Santer?
I'm going to go Houston Rockets.
They do not have the Houston Rockets listed as well.
Something doesn't feel right.
Oh, boy.
Did you get Sentled?
No. I was looking at this before I got on.
You look at the lottery odds, aren't you?
No. I was looking at this before I got on, like, this segment, and it reloaded on my Twitter, and I just did NBA Central odds. This is funny. These odds are for Austin Reeves. It's the Knicks, the Heat, and the Clippers, all at plus 400. Because I'm looking at this, and then I see the fourth, I'm like, the Milwaukee Bucks. So anyway, we'll talk Giannis on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, I have the, you know what? We'll do it on the other side. I already teased it. Santa, who'd you say?
I said the Rockets.
Okay. Who'd you say, Stu?
I said the Spurs.
Okay. And Ak, who do you think has the highest odds to land Giannis Antetokounmpo if he gets traded?
I'd say the Rockets.
Okay.
Rockets or Thunder?
One of you are right, and one of you got the other team right. So, who guessed two teams? I wonder who that is. What a radio tease, folks. Oh, my God. Temple University may take my degree back after this. All righty, we're coming on back. We'll talk Giannis next. Update time first. Here's Zach. All righty, it's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I haven't had, I'll use a Mraz term here, an oopsie on the air in a very long time. Now, the way that Mraz used that is very differently than I'm using that. I did not go a number two in my underwear. But I'm reading these odds for the next destination of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I realized the link that I clicked was for Austin Reeves. And I'm like, I'm having Stu and Samter give good guesses. And I'm like, I don't even see those in the top 12. So anyway, updated odds, DraftKings Sportsbook, on Giannis Antetokounmpo's next team if he requests a trade from the Milwaukee Bucks. This is from Forbes. Evan, how do you say this guy's last name? Sidri? Sidri? Whatever. He's got the odds, though. And it's for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Rockets at plus 950. Thunder at plus 1,000. See, Stu and Sam are like, we had good guesses. That Gelb guy, that bloviating jackass. Warriors at plus 1,100. Spurs at plus 1,200. Nets at plus 1,600. Lakers at plus 1,800. Suns at plus 1,800. And the Heat at plus 2,000. Let's hear from Shams Charania, who he was on to ESPN earlier today. He says Giannis is finally open to potentially moving off of the Bucks and considering a trade.
Sources tell me that Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the first time in his career, is open-minded about exploring whether his best fit moving forward is outside of Milwaukee. So whether he's going to remain as a Milwaukee Buck or move on potentially, he's going to explore that, spend time exploring that. And this is really the summit of Giannis Antetokounmpo here in Chicago. You have all 30 teams, all 30 decision makers here, agents here, and those conversations will be naturally substantive and free-flowing. He is the biggest domino in the NBA right now.
I think this is fascinating because I have been someone that has never taken the bait ever in terms of seeing Giannis Antetokounmpo leave the Milwaukee Bucks. But now, I think this is the first time I'm actually taking it seriously that this could be it for Giannis Antetokounmpo in the offseason. Or maybe at some point during next season. So he has 2 years left on his deal before the player option. Because if you're the Bucks, you can't wait, unless if you get a guarantee, to wait to the player option in 2027, 2028. So you got 2025, 2026, and 2026, 2027. I think if Giannis is on the Bucks at the end of this upcoming season, then he's in Milwaukee for a lot longer. But if he gets traded by the deadline or even before the start of the season, then obviously that's it for Giannis in Milwaukee. With all that being said, though, here's why I think that this is going to happen. Giannis, every time this trade conversation has popped up, which to be fair, he has brought it up before. Right, he has said some misleading things in the past where you could construe it in multiple different ways. But the Bucks have always made a move, whether it was winning a championship or then going out and acquiring Dame Lillard. With the resources they used to go get Dame Lillard, and now Dame Lillard dealing with the, all right, he had blood clots and then the Achilles. Where are the Bucks going? What's the last ditch desperation effort to keep Giannis this time around? Or present Giannis with a championship contending team? Because the Bucks have always been really good the last few years, but they have just quickly burned out of the postseason. And this past year, let's be honest, going into the playoffs, no one is really all gung-ho and optimistic on the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's amazing some of the moves that they made. Like, it's one thing to get rid of Gentry when they did, but to bring in Doc Rivers? Really? Doc Rivers? That's who you bring in? And I think that was more so the Haslam stepping on him and forcing Doc Rivers there. But I like John Horst. I like Peter Fagan a lot, the GM and president of the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know how they pull a rabbit out of the hat this time. And it's going to be fascinating to see not only where Giannis will want to go, but who's going to be able to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo? Because you look at these odds right now, I could see why he would want to go to the Rockets. They need one extra piece to get them over the hump. I could see why he would consider teaming up with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Does he want to go to the Warriors? I don't know how the Warriors would do that. I would imagine they'd have to get rid of Jimmy Butler. Or do you keep Jimmy Butler, Steph, and you finally get rid of Draymond Green? But what's going to be the appeal of the Milwaukee Bucks getting back, like, what, Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga? Like, is that what we're doing? So, I understand why Giannis would go to the Warriors. I don't say the Warriors get that deal done. The Spurs would be fascinating. If you could put together Wemby, and then you pick between either Fox or Castle, who you want to say goodbye to, and you have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, the Nets have a ton of picks, but what do the Nets currently have on their roster? You look at a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, Stu. Is there a way for the Lakers to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like, all right, you got Luka, you got Giannis, and they're very friendly. Or no, that's Luka and Nikola Jokic who are very friendly. But I don't think Giannis has any beef with Luka Doncic, or any that I know of. And then LeBron's still there, but like, what are the Lakers going to give up to go get Giannis? Like, what would be the appealing part that the Lakers has right now to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo still?
I guess Austin Reeves and Dalton Connect and picks, whatever picks they have left that they didn't trade to Dallas. So yeah. I don't know. It's probably not enough.
As Randy Jackson once said, that's a no for me, dog. Like, what are the Suns going to do? Like, I'm not taking Kevin Durant if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks. Miami's interesting, but what do you have to give up? Like, you have Bam, you got Tyler Hero. what team are you going to be able to build unless you just bring in Giannis and you hope he attracts stars also to Miami? So it's going to be fascinating to see. And, you know, I know that the Knicks will get thrown out there, but the Knicks don't have picks anymore. So unless if you're giving up Mikal Bridges, which I would give up in a second to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're going to have to give up more than that. So the destinations here, I think you look from a basketball standpoint, Rockets and Thunder, but then also, and the Spurs too, but then what does Giannis want? And I would think Giannis want to go to a place where he can go win a championship. So could he force his some and place somewhere where the picks and the returns aren't that strong? And does he want to just say, I'll go to the Lakers and I'll team up with Luka and we'll be the guys that end up replacing LeBron James? Real quickly, here's Brian Windhorst on the ESPN on the potential Giannis trade.
Two things you have to know about the Bucks when you consider a trade. Number one, the Bucks do not control their first-round pick for 5 years. That means if the Bucks are going to trade him, thinking that they're going to tank for the next 3 years and rebuild is not going to happen. They need quality players. And the other thing that you need to know is if you're going to trade Giannis to a team that's going to be a super team, getting that team's draft assets is not exciting because they're not going to be very high picks for the next few years. San Antonio and Houston, San Antonio and Houston. Pay attention there. And the other thing is Brooklyn, because Brooklyn has Phoenix's future drafts,
yes.
But Brooklyn's current players, not that strong, not as exciting of a player acquisition. The other team to watch, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Ooh. I would say San Antonio, Houston, San Antonio, Houston, Houston, San Antonio, right, to channel my inner Windy. What am I telling you with the fingers? And when I also look at another potential destination for Giannis, if it's not San Antonio or Houston, it's kind of like, yeah, Oklahoma City would make a ton of sense. All righty, we'll come on back a little onside, offside. It is the Zach Gelb Show.